There are times in life when it seems that everything is falling apart. And I think right now our world seems to be in one of those times. It's been almost 2 years of the Russian-Ukraine war, and now Israel and Hamas. It is also true when we go through difficult times in our lives, or when we have a relationship that is failing, or when we are facing ill health, or when we lose someone we love, or our job becomes uncertain. When it comes to the Christian faith, we would all like certainties, wouldn't we? We want to be sure. All we need is certainty. And the world around us is so uncertain, so unpredictable. Certainty in faith would be great. Christian faith is a real struggle and are solely tried during troubled times. A reading from Exodus this morning is a testimony to this truth. And let's recap the story a bit. This reading from Exodus chapter 33 follows both in the Bible and in the lectionary the story of the golden calf, which we read last Sunday, and can be understood fully only in light of that story and of the larger story of Exodus. And for those of you who are not here, I guess we all know the story of the golden calf. After bringing the Israelites out of slavery in Egypt, God had initiated a special relationship with them, calling them from all the people of the earth to be God's treasured possession, to be a priestly kingdom and a holy nation in Exodus chapter 19. And God had given them the Ten Commandments with a purpose in Exodus chapter 20, and instructions on building the tabernacle, the tent of meeting, in Exodus chapter 25. The problem, of course, is that by the time we get to Exodus chapter 33, the people have stumbled badly, really badly. By worshipping the golden calf, they have betrayed their relationship with God, their friendship with God, and have hurt and angered God. So right after that betrayal, God changes his mind about the shape of that relationship. In the beginning of chapter 33, the Lord said to Moses, "Go, leave this place, you and the people whom you have brought up out of the land of Egypt, and go to the land which I swore to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob." And then God says, "I will send an angel before you, but I will not go up among you, or I would consume you on the way, for you are a stiff-necked people." The Lord will send an angel, but will not go himself. The Lord will not abandon the people. He will be true to the covenant made with them at Mount Sinai, but he will not be present with them in the way originally planned. The Lord's abiding dwelling presence will not go with the Israelites as they journey through the wilderness. That's where our reading for today comes in. Moses, to put it mildly, is not satisfied with this new arrangement. He's not satisfied at all. And Moses gives us a prayer that we can use in all kinds of difficult times. It's a beautiful prayer. In fact, it's as if he is bargaining with God. Bargaining with God in troubled times. questioning God in difficult times. I would say interrogatory prayer. Perhaps we feel guilty when we behave like that, but I don't think we need to. This sense of struggle, this lack of certainty, is the common experience of most of the saints through history. It is the common experience of many characters in the Bible. Think about Jacob's famous wrestling match with God, though the New Testament says the angel of God. Jacob said, "I will not let you go unless you bless me." In Genesis 32, remember Gideon demands a sign from God, the sign of dew on the fleece alone, and then the sign of a dry fleece in Judges chapter 6. Even in the New Testament, we see that John the Baptist sends two of his disciples as messengers to ask a question from Jesus. "Are you the one to come after me, or shall we wait for another?" Then the story of doubting Thomas at the end of John's Gospel, who refused to believe that the resurrected Jesus had appeared to the 10 other disciples until he could see and feel the wounds received by Jesus on the cross. Friends, God is more than willing to answer any of our questions. He is more than willing to clear any of our doubts. I believe it's perfectly fine if sometimes we have interrogatory prayer. It's not the prayer that we think we need when times are bad, but it's the prayer that gets to what we need the most. Moses gives us three requests that not only get to the heart of what we need, but to the heart of what God wants for us. First request, a relationship, God's friendship. Moses says in verse 13, "Now if I have found favor in your sight, show me your ways, so that I may know you and find favor in your sight." Moses appeals to the unique intimacy of the relationship between Moses and God. He realizes that he can't leave these people without God's help. He says, "You have not let me know whom you will send with me." Who is going to be with Moses? An angel? That would be nice, but that's not what Moses wants. Moses says that he wants something in particular from God. Just as God knows Moses and calls him a friend, so Moses wants to know God. He says, "If I am so special to you, let me in your plans." And the psalmist says in Psalm 103, "The Lord shows his acts to the people of Israel, but his ways to his servant Moses." Moses wants to know God. In John chapter 17, verse 3, Jesus defined eternal life, saying, "This is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent." Moses wants to know God. Then there is a second request that Moses gives, God's presence. In verse 15, Moses says, "If your presence will not go, do not carry us up from here." So Moses insists on to God that you must go with us. Moses knew that the only thing that made the Israelites different from any other people or nation in the world is that God was in their midst and traveled with them on their journey. So Moses keeps pressing God with the request of his presence. Moses shows us that what we really need is not all of our problems to be solved, or even for all of our dreams to come true, even though that would be nice. What we really need most of all is God's presence with us. It would be better to live in a desert with no home permanently than to go to the promised land without God. And this is the reason Moses gives to God. The very thing that set Israel apart from everyone else wasn't their land, wasn't their charisma, their wealth, their culture, or anything else, because they had none of these. The only thing that set them apart was God's presence. The same applies to us. We need to know God. We need to know God. We also need His presence. Take a look at what the presence of God will do in your life. His presence will give you rest and peace that passes all understanding. First, Moses wants to know God. Second, Moses wants God to move in with them. Moses doesn't want to just know God. He wants God to live with them. But he isn't done yet. Third request, God's glory. I think at this point, most of us would be satisfied. God's friendship, God's presence would be enough. Not for Moses, though. He says, "Show me your glory, I pray." This is an audacious request, a very bold request. The fact that Moses' request is not fully granted reminds Moses and us that God is still God. Even Moses cannot know or comprehend God completely. Even Moses will not see or know all there is to know about God. God granted Moses' request, sort of. God says He will let His goodness pass before Moses. Even then, Moses would only get a glance. This isn't the full glory of God. It's only a partial revelation. If Moses saw all of God's glory, it would destroy him. The glory of God is more than any human could bear. But it's also what we need, and that we have in Jesus Christ. And Moses was granted his request years later on the Mount of Transfiguration, when Peter, James, and John saw Jesus was accompanied with Moses and Elijah on the Mount of Transfiguration, given in Luke chapter 9. When things are bad, we need God's friendship, His presence, and His glory. And in Jesus, we have all of these. Through His death and resurrection, we've been made not only God's friends, but God's children. We also have His presence. The reason Jesus said, "Behold, I am always with you to the end of the age." And in Jesus, we have seen God's glory. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we have seen His glory. Glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. In Colossians chapter 1, verse 15, Paul reminds us that Jesus Christ is the image of the invisible God. If you want to know anything about God, look at Jesus. Again, St. Paul says in chapter 2, "For in Him the whole fullness of God dwells bodily." In this time of crisis, in our world or in our lives, we need God. God's relationship, God's friendship, God's presence, and God's glory. And we have all this in Jesus. In the name of God, who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.